the second on Channel Radio.
And good morning, listener. A warm good morning here from us in a beautifully sunny Kent. We're in Dymchurch, just by the sea. We've got alpacas gambling in the fields around us. And I'm looking forward to getting my alpaca socks out, perhaps in November. I've got some lovely purple ones. Just back from frolicking in Moreira, in Alicante, Valencia region. And if you can whiff, listener, a vague whiff of aioli and garlic, I'm afraid it is me, because I have a penchant, Dr. John, for garlic.
I know, yes, I smelt it all the way down in the car. I mean, it was just reeking of it.
I know, I'm sorry.
I had to have the windows open, my head out the window trying to get over it.
Well, you were topless again, weren't you, coming down?
Yes, of course, yes. I always am topless in the car.
Yes, Dr. John likes his top off. We have a cracking, busy show for you today. First of all, we have the amazing, very inspiring Shirley Pete in the studio. She's left Rachel Branson behind. I got very confused, Dr. John. Because they're talking to us about their amazing award, Virgin Fest.
Yes, I heard. Yes, that's right. I did actually look it up and make sure that Richard Branson wasn't her husband, although she does have a husband by the name of Richard, which confuses it even more, and I'm sure Shirley will expand on that.
It's extremely confusing. So we've got Virgin Fest. The Twitter, well, the hashtag that we've discovered is hashtag Virgin Fest. And we are following the Twitter for Shirley Pete and Rachel Branson, which is at Zingology. That's Zingology UK. See what I did there?
Yes, I did.
Zing, darling, zing. So Z, well, or Z.
Clearly it's all because of your sunny holiday down in Spain. You're really zigging, as you were when I came and picked you up at 8 o'clock this morning.
I'm not sure, Dr. John, that texting me at 10 p.m. when you're frolicking at your wedding, obviously nine sheets of wind, telling me that, by the way, we're leaving half an hour earlier when I've just tripped off the plane, was much fun.
Yes, well, at least I was working at 10 o'clock last night.
I had to swallow my boiled egg whole, you know, like an ostrich. So we've got in the studio Shirley Pete, who is one half of Zingology UK, just established in April. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning.
And Shirley, not only does she's hiding her bushel under her arm, or under her bushel, or I'm not quite sure, something under her bushel, because she also has a fabulous cafe in Tunbridge Wells called Logie.
Absolutely.
Which we're going to be hearing all about. But she's here today to talk about the fabulous nutrition. She's got these little test tubes, Dr. John, that she sent me in the post. But last night I couldn't take them this morning. It was all too much because you arrived an hour.
Well, you were zinging so much, weren't you, from all your aioli and the sun and everything else.
Paella.
Some of us had to work, you see, and we're in tune with what was going on. I had to bring you up to date, you see.
I know. Did you see the picture of yet another paella?
Yes, I did. I heard all about the paella I had on Sunday night, I think it was, wasn't it?
Most nights.
Well, scoffing, yes, I agree.
So Shirley Pete is going to be telling us all about the nutrition in their little test tubes. And listen, things like dried powder of carrot and beetroot and their new technology where they're going to be keeping all the enzymes in for you. So very, very good and very interesting. And they are going to be telling us, Shirley's going to be telling us about the Virgin Fest Award. Pretty good, I think, to get an award when you only started in April. Quite swotty. And then on the phone, we've got Steve Rudkin, who is the founder and also marketing sales of Seed and Bean, which I have scoffed on quite a few occasions.
Mostly now, that really does surprise me.
But when you're on holiday, I tend to open the packet.
Yes, you do indeed. And listeners, as you know only too well, whenever there's any chocolate around, Jules gets it all and the rest of us have to just scrape around for the crumbs that are lying all over the floor.
When I packed my lunch today, I didn't have to put much in because I knew I have six bars here in front of me. Let's just look at what we've been sent, listener. We've got... we've got Andy. First of all, we've got Andy Hoodness Horse, who's in the corner, and he's going to be doing a roundup of all that's going on in
the
ales.
I'll round up the chocolate for you.
Yes.
Yeah. I gather you were rounding up lots of ales in Munich, is that
lagers,
right? Lagers. Oh, lagers. Okay, well, ales.
Just back last night from Oktoberfest in Munich. So
he looks very well, listener.
I wasn't yesterday.
Did you wear lederhosen?
Well, sorry, I've got to disappoint you. I knew you'd expect me to turn up.
Oh, I did.
In lederhosen.
Farmer Charles Tassel always turns up in his farmer gear.
That's where I've seen it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and Munich, of course.
Perhaps
but
you can't fit into last year's lederhosen.
I can't fit into next year's lederhosen either.
Can't you get lederhosen with, you know, elasticated waist for men?
The funny thing is, CNA in Munich do a roaring trade in selling lederhosen to all the English Brits, and they get outfitted for about 110 euros. It's expensive.
Yeah, it is. And you'd rather spend the money on the ale? Or
yes,
the lager.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
And
yeah.
Did you eat lots of sort of sausagey things?
If you've had a half metre bratwurst, you've lived.
Mm. Well, Andy Setterfield is going to be telling Dr. John and I all about what that Munich Fest was like, Oktoberfest, because the Oktoberfest is everywhere now.
But it starts in September. That should tell you everything you need to know about it.
I noticed a poster up in Moira when I was there, which is the 3rd to the 5th, is that right?
The 3rd to the 5th, no, it's the 20th, it started on the 20th of September and runs through to the beginning of the second week in October.
Maybe being Spanish, they're always a little bit manana, aren't they?
Could be.
It's 3rd to 5th, because I thought there was another excuse to go back.
Yeah, well, of course, there was an Oktoberfest last Saturday, which was the Urban Street Fest.
Well, they can't really be Oktoberfest.
No, well, that's what I thought when I was reading it out for the 30th of, for the 20th of September. I thought, well, it's not really an Oktoberfest, it's a September Fest.
And, of course, this weekend, Jules, Canterbury Fest comes up, doesn't
Lovely.
It?
Well, yeah. I'll be Green rolling hot. Around.
Yeah.
Are you going?
You never know.
If I go, I'll buy you a pint. I am going.
Just one pint.
Well, you can buy me one back and it'll go okay. on, won't it?
Right.
We will be hearing from Andy Houdiner's Horse all about, so you can follow him at Houdiner's Horse. If you have an event, please tweet him if you haven't done so already. It's a really good way. We have now 42,000 followers in our reach, so if you're not doing it, you are a bit of a plonker, frankly.
I thought the room was a bit crowded today.
What, with plonkers?
Well, no, with 42,000 people in
here. Yeah, I know.
In our reach.
I know, in our reach. But we will be scoffing during the show. Shirley, you've picked a good show. We've got the Cornish Sea Salt and Lime, which you won't be having any of, because that's my favourite.
We've got these notice listeners, she's already told us what we're not eating.
Cornish Sea Salt, which is divine, I've had that. Coconut and raspberry. Now, coconut is my one weakness. And these are all organic. Lemon and poppy seed. Ooh, who'd have thought in chocolate? Yum. And also the organic, fine dark chocolate, organic espresso, which has a 5.8% cocoa. Now, you're into nutrition, so you'll know how good. So feel free to start opening these now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's no time like the present. Meanwhile, we're going to get to, that's the water being poured out. It's Tankerton filtered, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what Jules reckons it is, but it's actually Carver from Spain.
Now, while Shirley muscles in on that chocolate and gives the verdict, we're going to hear from Dr. John and what's happening on Twitter.
Yes, well, we've had a fair
notice my Spanish influence today,
yes,
Dr. John.
Yes, I had heard that, yes. We had a Twitter in which I'm sure Andy will comment on from Neil.
Was it a Twitter or a tweet?
Tweet. It's a tweet.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, you're the twerp. It was a tweet.
Cheat.
From Neil Baker, who's a local councillor where Jules and I come from, and he was saying there's a new microbrewery about to open up in the Whitstable area, and they're going for a licensing approval today. In fact, Tuesday today.
That will be three microbreweries.
Yes, that's three. That's the Tankerton Arms. There's the Black Cat. Is it the Black Dog?
Black Dog.
Black Dog, and this new one, which we've yet to be named.
I actually should come in there. What we're talking about is a micro pub.
Yes, so I meant
not a micro brewery.
Yeah.
The difference being
A
micro brewery.
Sorry, I meant micro.
Will actually brew the stuff on. You know,
I stand
site.
Corrected.
And if they could find a way,
he's far too busy just focusing on the chocolate, isn't he?
Oh, the dark chocolate's fantastic.
Have you had some?
Oh, yes, see, I haven't had any yet. I mean, Neil's accusing me of eating, and I haven't had anything yet.
But Dr. John,
I'm actually working, unlike everyone else
Dr.
in the studio.
Dr. John, what
today.
You won't be tucking into is the Cornish sea salt with lime.
I knew one had vanished.
It's in my bra. Look,
well,
it's fairly safe there, then, John.
Yeah, well, she's been talking about...
Do carry on, John. He can't, he's got his mouth full.
About bamboo and knickers. I don't know quite what the connection is.
Well, What is it?
I don't know. I'm trying to find out. I did find out that the Chinese are now producing peaches with knickers on them.
Poor Shirley wonders what on earth she's walked into.
She's looking a bit shell-shocked here.
How many cubes have you had, Shirley?
I've had one of the raspberry ones. Very nice.
They're delicious, aren't they?
But yes.
One of your five a day, of course. Mm. Okay, Dr. John, let's be serious. Who is on the Twitter? Come on, stop
eating. Well, that's the popcorn in the kettle black. Well, we've had...
Smacking his chops.
We have had John... Baker John, at Baker John Kent, who's of course the baker.
Must be a baker.
Yes, must be a baker. He presents himself at the Aylesford, Tunbridge, and I think also the Elm Court Farmers Market, and does baking with Steve and Matthew.
Matthew
Kearsley Lawson.
Steve
had,
Wood.
Yes, and we've had AK Pet Services, our famous colleagues who ship animals all around the place.
Yes, that's Adrian Kearney. Mm. If you have a little dog with a limp or an alligator with a sore tail, he will transport it for you while you carry on working. He'll take it to the vets. He also does RTAs, so if little animals are hurt at road traffic accidents, he helps rescue them. Very, very good. That's AK Pet Services.
Yeah.
Lovely, Adrian.
And we've had tweet from Riverford_Kent, it's the Riverford sisters, and they're saying the venison season is on. It's very short this year, so if you want a venison box from them, you must get in contact straight away, because they'll all disappear very quickly. So if you want a venison box, get on to the Riverford sisters at Riverford_Kent.
It's very difficult, and we have a lot of game people. In fact, our sponsor today is Goldmish and Game. We have a lot of game people on the show, and it's very difficult to get organic venison, as Andy will know, running a pub and doing food, because naturally it's galloping about and you can't know what it's eating. So what Riverford do is they actually feed the venison and keep them in beautiful surroundings, like their chickens. Their eggs are delicious. And
the turkeys as well, those huge turkeys that they sell each year.
The best, my mother nearly fell off the chair when I said how much the turkey cost, but I will do it again this year. It was the best turkey I'd ever had, and it was worth every penny. Dr. John.
Yes, we've also had the fish and veg man, who will be coming on next week, tweet in as well, and also a note from One Snail View, which is the lovely lady that has a snail farm in Kent. And she said they've just won a bursary for a free stand at the BBC Good Food Show this year.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yes, and they were actually on the headline news, or on the main news channel, at 6 o'clock one evening, as a sort of one of the side things, talking about their snails. We actually had snails in the studio.
Yeah, we did. We had a baby one.
We had a baby one. You couldn't see it. It was on the end of her finger.
Yeah, well, didn't you eat it by mistake? Raw.
No, I didn't eat it. I'm not that cruel.
But what I find amazing is an English lady in Kent, Helen Howard, selling snails to the French. Now, how good is that?
Yeah, exactly.
And we also have a lot of cheese people that, I think it was Michelle Roux Sr. Now, Mr. Harry Covert is listening in, saying that he notices I'm as bossy as ever. Which is not true. It's just because John's being very naughty.
Yeah, listeners, she is bossy. You know that. You've heard her talking.
It's called assertion, isn't it,
she
Shirley?
She bosses me around.
When ladies are bossy, it's assertion. But what was I saying? Oh, yes, Michelle Roux Sr., I think it was him, said that we have the best cheese and better than French cheese.
Well, I agree. I mean, I love the county cheeses, and we have some great cheesemakers here in Kent as well. Mm.
Dr. John,
yes.
Is that all for now? Shall I play a tune?
Yeah, I think we ought to play a tune, because we've got a telephone guest that's supposed to be coming in 5 minutes ago.
Okay, well, I'll play a tune then, Dr. John. Ready?
Yes, ready.
It's Live in the Vida Loca. No, it's not. It's Light My Fire.
Get it right. Well, it come on, I know you're still in holiday mode, aren't you?
But this is all very Spanish. It's Jose Feliciano, darling. Light My Fire.
Well, you're all Spanish.
I'm very Spanish. I'm brown. Factor 50, though. Sing it, Jose.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, hey, girl, we couldn't get much higher.
light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. The time for hesitation's through. There's no time to wallow in the mire. Darling, we could only lose, and our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
That was Jose getting all hot and Spanish there, Light My Fire. And we have a little Spanish theme running because I'm back from Mariah. I'm all chirpy, a little bit jaded actually after my flight back, sitting with my knees wedged. On the blower now, we have the fabulous Steve Rudkin. I haven't met him, but I've heard he's fabulous. And he must be because he makes these amazing chocolates. Steve Rudkin, hi.
Hello.
Hi. This is amazing. We've got all your lovely flavours in the studio. The one I've got wedged in my bra at the moment, because nobody else is going to have any, is, of course, the Cornish sea salt and lime, which is my absolute one weakness.
It's melted, I say, sometimes, Steve.
But fantastic. Now, you're at lunch, aren't you?
Yes. We're at a trade show. Showing off our new, recently rebranded chocolates.
Now, is it the first day there, or is it?
Yes, it's a trade show for the cafes of the upmarket cafes and farm shops. So it opened an hour ago.
Brilliant.
Hence, I couldn't be with you.
I wish I'd have known earlier. I would have sent you a sandwich board round with Scoff and Quaff on it and our website, and you could have marketed it while you walked round. Now, tell us about this. Is it, you're the founder and sales and marketing I've got down here.
Yes, that's right, yes.
So was this your idea, your eureka moment, or was it
something? Yes, it was, to be fair. My history, I have a history of working in organic chocolates in the mid-90s. I've always worked in the organic food business, well, for the last 25 years.
Yeah.
And then when I discovered chocolate, in terms of selling it and promoting it and creating it, it was very difficult not to work in it. And you do tend to find that people, once they're in the chocolate business, they don't move on.
Mm.
You know, you're in the market of selling pleasure, which is rare, quite frankly. So yes, I started the business in 2005. The idea was to at that time, what was very popular was chocolate covered seeds. So yeah. we'd air roast pumpkin seeds, soya beans, sunflower seeds, and cover them with chocolate. So they were almost healthy treats.
Mm.
But that was at the time where everything was good, and people had lots of money to spend on these sort of luxury organic items. And our customers were asking more and more for bars. So for us to do the same sort of creativity, but within on a flat bar, because generally, I'm not saying always, but generally people don't eat a whole bar. You know, if you're going
unlike Jules, who scoffs it down in one gulp.
Well, I managed that Cornish. You know, I sat in the deck chair in the garden, and I very easily managed to eat that whole bar.
Right, well, that's very naughty of you.
It was absolute, but you couldn't stop. It was...
No.
There's something about, for me, that one, I couldn't stop, possibly. But I know what you're saying. It's good quality. One should be happy with one square. Is that
I wouldn't say one, but generally...
normally just confine herself to one square.
And as long as a square is about a foot long by about...
a lot of people religiously eat four squares or two squares, but they eat a small amount of dark chocolate. So to have in your secret chocolate hiding space,
yes,
a selection of four or five to suit the moment, to suit the aperitif or the drink that you have for the evening, is the way that it's gone.
Well, our other guest, Zingology, it's Shirley Pete, has snaffled I made the mistake of offering her the sea salt. And
don't listen to this. It's not true at all.
It hasn't been returned to me, so I'm getting a bit worried. But she's also... Shirley, what are you on? You're on the coconut and raspberry.
Oh, I just love the raspberry and coconut.
Yeah, yeah, she's very happy. So, Steve, also, I'm looking... why are you so passionate about organic? Tell me.
Well, it's a personal thing, really. I don't like to see the environment being abused, I can go on and rant and get upset, or I thought I can do this one or two ways. I can become sort of slightly aggravated and become an antagonist against the state, or I can work the other way and go, well, you know what, let's not really talk about the organic side and the compostable wrappers and this, that and the other.
Mm.
Let's just make some really, really good chocolate. To be honest, these days, hardly anyone notices it's organic. It's they buy it because it's great tasting chocolate.
Yeah, they buy it for the taste.
Exactly, and then I'm much better in what we're trying to do if we say, then they read it and go, oh, and it's organic, well, blow me.
Yeah.
You know, and then oh, okay, it tastes better than any other chocolate. You know, it helps because we make it in very small batches, but the raspberries, for example, there's nearly 40 raspberries in every bar. They're freeze-dried, they're raw, freeze-dried, crushed to a powder and poured in.
Mm.
That's why it tastes so good.
That's why you get the flavour. You get a real hit, don't you, Shirley, of the coconut and the raspberry. Well, John's just whipped the mic. Tell me, Shirley, what that taste of the raspberry.
No, the taste is fantastic. And obviously I'm into the raspberry powder because that's one of the powders we produce.
Yeah. And tell us about Waitrose. That's exciting.
Yes, it is. It's... We had a rebrand earlier in the year, just to reflect the big flavors and the flavor combinations that we have, and really within 3 months of the relaunch, we've been approached by Waitrose, and the good thing is, you know, the buyer is fully behind what we're doing. We're in the top 50, 60 stores. I think the nearest one to you is probably Seven Oaks. We've got eight products in there. Generally, we're in the sort of quirky foodie stores. So you'll see quite a few, as in quite a few independents, quirky farms, shops, and
excellent
health food stores.
So they are, Waitrose actually approached you, which is pretty amazing, isn't it? Rather than you having to tout there.
Yes, the buyer saw it in one of our distributor magazines and phoned the office, which was nice because to be honest, that's how we're finding it at the moment.
Yeah.
Export sales have been tremendous. Really, the Northern Europeans, they really embrace the design, and even places like New Zealand, we're selling. You wouldn't believe the amount of chocolate we're selling to New Zealand. So
why do you think that is? Do you think there's nothing that's comparable in New Zealand?
I think, to be honest, our range, the way that I put the flavours together and the way that we work with the suppliers, our flavours are quite, I'll say the word, naive. I've come this from a sort of an eco yet fun trying to create a range rather than a master chocolatier approach.
Yeah.
And consequently, when we create flavours, I get the raw materials, the nut products, or the air roast, ground to a paste, and then I pour it in, mix it, do lots and lots of trials, and I don't stop until I get a wow.
Yeah.
That's what I do, and I go, oh God. That's
your perfection.
That's it. And I'm fairly sure that's not how your large corporates create, because they go, wait a minute, that cost in there, right? No, you've got 11.33% hazelnut in that bar. You know, we can't possibly afford it.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. So the other thing to say is, because we are quietly green, we don't want to be overly expensive. I mean, the ingredients are expensive. The way we produce is expensive.
Mm.
Similar bars, to the way that we do, are often, particularly in Europe and the States, they're often $4.99, equivalent of a $4.99 chocolate bar. We're around $2.49. We're
manageable.
Yes.
And I see here that you're fair trade certified as well, and you're sourced from fair trade producers as much as possible. Is that?
Yes, we try to do that, and we do have two bars that don't carry the fair trade mark, but actually they are to a French certifier. So although the consumer doesn't know the certification process, we do, and we were actually held up on Watchdog last year as there was an investigation into fair trade, and we were held up as one of the very few companies that is fully traceable, that we know we can go back to the farmer, to the actual farmer,
right,
that supplies the ingredients.
I think it's fantastic. And now the address I've got here is that you're in London, North London. So do you actually make it in North London?
No, we don't. We make it up in Northamptonshire.
Right. Is that where you're from originally?
No, actually, I'm from Derbyshire. I tend to work from home in Derbyshire, and that's where I started the business. It's just a coincidence that the manufacturer's in Northamptonshire, we're growing quite nicely together.
It's absolutely marvellous. I love it. And we're going to be tasting them all through the show, and as many as I can will go in my handbag.
Okay.
I'd like to know, what is the measurement of your waistline, Steve?
I'm telling you.
Can you?
But let's just say it's bigger than it was. It's bigger than it was.
Please send us a photo.
Yes. Both John and I want to know what's the measurement of your handbag.
Large enough to get them all.
We already know what your waistline's like.
Well, the other thing just to say is, if you do go onto our website, which is seedandbean.co.uk, we do have a September offer for Organic Month.
Right.
So we are doing 20% off at the moment.
Fabulous. So we can buy it online.
Yes, you can. If you can't find it locally, try our website.
Okay, or else phone Steve Rudkin and he'll send some down. Thank you very much, and do enjoy lunch. Please tell as many people as you can about Scoff and Quaff.
I will.
The show will be up to listen again, and we'll send you the MP3 and all that. So
lovely
to speak to you.
Thank you.
And we'll speak to you very soon.
All right.
Goodbye.
Thank you, bye.
And that's Stevie Rudkin there from Seed and Bean. Absolutely stonking idea. And I think now it's time to play a little song. John, do you want to say anything before I play a little song? Because I'm frankly want to eat something.
So I'm gonna Despite play. Your waistline.
Have you got anything to say?
Yeah, a quick one, actually.
As you know.
There's a local, it's locally in the local press here in North Kent.
Yes.
Faversham's been in the news as it's going to be part of a small screen on next week's Taste of Britain episode, which is aired on Monday. It was actually Monday yesterday, last night, but the show airs every Monday. And they were talking about Faversham. It was Janet Street Porter and the TV chef Brian Turner.
While you do that, I'm just going to open this one, is the lemon and poppy seed.
Yeah. Anyway, they apparently travelled to Faversham, Whitstable and Canterbury, and focusing on the sorts of food that was produced in the area and the cook's dishes with them. Whereas Janet was focusing more on the marshes and the wildlife. And they walked around the town centre in Faversham, and they visited Littlebourne, snail farm, I think it was, in Littlebourne.
And that would be Helen Howard.
Yes, it was, yes, Helen Howard. She was on the national news, as I mentioned
earlier. Well, the lemon and poppy seed, Dr. John, is lovely.
Just ignore Jules. She's salivating.
It's a creamy white chocolate, though.
Yes, okay. Also visited the Good Shed in Canterbury and Brogdale Farm.
Pass me the one I like, the lime one, because I'm worried you're going to take it.
I just get talked over all the time.
Now
she's
John.
So scoffing so
I'm
much.
A bit worried.
But John, the truth is, some of us have only had three squares, which means we've got another one we can have, and I'm saving myself.
Shirley's broken it all up into little squares for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, Ali, carry on, Dr. Ron.
Thank you very much. And they also visited Brogdale Farm in Brogdale Road near Faversham, and they looked at all the cherry orchards and cooked some. And Brian cooked a cherry dish on the site
to match Janet's hair. No doubt. She loves her hair red hair, doesn't she?
Yes.
That wasn't a catty comment. I love a cherry head. I'm going to play some Ricky Martin.
On that note, that's right.
We're going to introduce Shirley then, aren't we?
Yes, we're going to play a little, continuing with my Latin theme, is Ricky Martin. And we'll talk to Shirley after. But we're living the vida loca, Dr. John. Well, I was, you know. Paella.
I'm not going to comment on what you're doing down in Spain.
A little bit of carver.
That girl's gonna make me fall. She's in some new sensations, new kicks in the candlelight. She's got new addictions for every day and night. She'll make you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain. She'll make you live a crazy life, but she'll take away. City. In a funky cheap hotel, she took my heart and she took my money. She must have slipped me a sleeping pill. She never drinks the water, makes you order French champagne. Once you've had a taste of her, you'll never be the same. You should make you go insane. Color.
That was Ricky Martin there. I'm just fading him out because time is swiftly moving on. And we've got fabulous Shirley Pete, who sent me, I opened Listener last night, a little bottle, a little sort of package of test tubes. And I was a bit addled and I was on Spanish time. And I'm not really sure what they were for and what to do. So I'm going to ask Shirley from Zingology UK, if you're following them on the Twitter, what I'm going to do with them. So have you stopped eating the chocolate
for now? Yes, I'm having a little break now.
Yeah, they are good, aren't they?
Absolutely.
They really are. So you only started in April.
Yes, that's when we launched. And strangely enough, at the launch, we were at the Natural and Organic show, and I sat next to Steve at the awards dinner.
Right.
So oh, I know. So it was nice to hear from him again.
And what is his waistline? You know, did you measure it?
No, I didn't. But it's not that big.
He sounds thin.
Yeah, he's not a big guy.
No. So tell us about your little test tubes and why you started doing it. Because I know that you were always interested in nutrition and your background was nutrition and marketing. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, my background's nutrition and marketing, and I also happen to be a type 1 diabetic. So I have to think about what I eat. And I don't like to obviously eat too much sugar or carbs. And I
noticed
just,
that this morning with seed and bean.
Yeah, I've been very good. I am literally sticking to Steve's guidelines and having one piece of each. But
yes,
there is quite a few of them in the studio, to be fair.
Yeah. And so you started, and the flavours are amazing because you've got. So what you get is a little test tube.
Yep.
And you've got a carrot, a beetroot, not all mixed. These are separate. And a raspberry and a strawberry.
Yeah.
So what is the aim and how are people going to be using these?
Well, to be honest with you, it's as big as people's imagination, and we are getting emails and calls from some of our customers that are giving us new ideas.
Right.
For instance, we've got one lady who's clearly like me and got teenage children that won't eat vegetables. And what she does is she actually sprinkles a little bit of the carrot powder into the baked beans, and not only does it make the baked beans taste much, much nicer, but she knows that her kids are getting a portion of carrots at the same time.
Now, does the heating affect it, or would you just heat the baked beans and then sprinkle it on the top and then stir it so you're not really cooking it?
Yeah, you can. But to be fair, you can also cook it. Treat it like you would treat fruit and vegetables.
Right.
As in, you can bake with them, you can... The berries are great for breakfast, in the sense of get some natural yogurt, sprinkle a little bit of either the strawberry or the raspberry on it. You've got a strawberry yogurt, but without all the additives that you quite often get in a strawberry yogurt.
You know, you've got me onto the natural yogurt now, because especially in Spain, and it's a company that I won't mention, who drive me mad, because you go for their natural yogurt and when you read the ingredients, they've got sugar in there and it's all sold as natural, and you think you're buying a plain yogurt and it's not. And so I'm with you. So we have to look first of all for a yogurt without sugar, read the ingredients, and then swirl in your lovely powder.
Yeah, just a little bit. Or even on porridge, because one of the best breakfasts, I mean, great, the weather's fantastic at the moment, but it will start getting cooler in another month, and eat your porridge for breakfast. That is the best breakfast.
Yeah.
And again, sprinkle a little bit of strawberry or raspberry on it. Your kids will love it.
Yeah, fantastic. What is your bestseller out of these so far?
Well, strangely enough, at the moment, it's beetroot.
Beetroot's very hip at the moment. It's so good for you.
Yeah. It's a superfood.
Yeah.
And there's quite a lot of beetroot around there. And beetroot's really good in juicing. And you can make a red velvet cake. We use it to make beetroot icing. My business partner, Rachel's got a four-year-old. And she mixes it with water, freezes it to make ice lollies. And her daughter absolutely loves them. How else do you get a four-year-old to eat beetroot?
So how easy is it with the test tubes? So John and I are going to be bringing some in. We knew we'd be a bit busy eating chocolate today, but we're going to bring some in. But would a little girl or a little boy at school be able to snap it open and put it on in something at lunch?
Yes.
Or would the mum do it pre?
Either or.
Okay.
Either or. I mean, it depends on the age of the children.
Mm-hmm.
The very young ones, mum probably should do it, but little ones can do it, mix it with water.
It's quite fun, isn't it?
Absolutely. You can take it to the dinner table, mix it with the water, and the children have got themselves a ready-made drink that also tick your box, that's one of your five a day.
Now, you're using a new patent technology. Are you able to tell us any of this secret?
I can, but I might have to kill you afterwards.
Right, that's been done.
And I'd hate to do that as you're very lively following your holiday. But yeah, the technology is a very, very gentle technology. So it doesn't use too much heat and it doesn't freeze dry. So it retains all the nutrients, all the enzymes and all the flavour. So they taste fantastic, but they've also got all the goodness. We've had them tested by the University of Washington. And the strawberry powder retains exactly the same amount of vitamin C, etc., as the actual raw strawberries did.
That sounds amazing. Right, so what are your next plans? Have you got any next plans, or are you still reeling just from starting in April?
Well, to be honest with you, we're really pleasantly surprised at how successful we've been since the launch.
And this award.
Yes.
An award so early on.
Absolutely, and especially one where Richard Branson was sort of involved in was very, very exciting. So.
And you're sure that Rachel Branson has nothing to do with him?
No, where unfortunately she's not related and it is just a fluke. But the really funny bit is she does actually happen to be married to a guy who's called Richard.
Very odd.
So we did have Richard Branson meet Richard Branson last week, which was quite funny.
So what would you say about the Virgin Fest? Is that also fairly new?
Yes. This is the first year that they've run this particular competition, which was basically Food Entrepreneur of the Year. And we were runners-up in the health category.
Right.
And they literally only launched it about 3 or 4 months ago.
Well, I think this is amazing. And the one thing that I need to also mention is your cafe in Tunbridge Wells, which is on the Camden Road.
Absolutely.
Called Logie.
Yes.
And that's Logi. Clever quip there. Mostly gluten-free, sugar-free, healthy, delicious food. So get down there. We've got a lot of Tunbridge Wells listeners, haven't we, Dr. John? If you want to find out more about the girls at Zingology, it's www.zingology, Z-I-N-G-O-L-O-G-Y, ology, in other words, .co.uk. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Zingology, and they're also on Facebook. But congratulations from us, fabulous. And
thank
we will be sampling your little test tubes all through the week and we'll see what it does to Dr. John. It puts a zing in his step.
Jules, you do realise that part of the future development or marketing of this has got to be changing fairy tales. You can imagine Papa Bear saying, "Who's been sprinkling carrot on my porridge?"
Exactly. We'll be hearing from Andy Setterfield about bars after a little bit of Sandy Shaw.
I walk along the city streets you used to walk along with me. And every step I take recalls how much in love we used to be. Oh, how can I forget you when there is always something there to remind me? Always something there to remind me. And I will never be free. You'll always be a part of me. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. When shadows fall, I pass a small cafe where we would dance at night. And I can't help recalling how it felt to kiss and hold you tight. Oh, how can I forget you when there is always and I will never be free. You'll always be a part of me. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
And that was Sandy Shaw. I'm cutting it a little bit short, but we'll play her another time because we've got Andy Setterfield, who's got everything ale to tell you about. It's at Houdiness Horse. View from the bar.
Well, Jules, you know I've been to Munich. I have to say the Oktoberfest is set over about 33 hectares of land, lots of bars, and it's a big fun fair. It's something for all the family. It was good fun to go there, but I have to say a stein of beer at 1 litre, which is 1.75 pints, you know, it's a bit much, and people start downing them, you know, one after the other. So there's a lot of a very strong ale drunk, or lager, whichever way you want to look at it. But just across from the hotel we stayed at was Guitaro's Cafe, and you're going to love the name of the owner, Alexander Popovsky.
Popovsky?
Yeah.
Oh, he must be a little, what is he, a little Polish or a little Russian?
Latvian Macedonian.
I knew that.
Yeah, I
knew
I thought
that,
you
really
would.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, like almost, what's the little things that run round on TV giving out puppets?
Meerkats.
Meerkats. Don't look anything like a meerkat. The name sounds meerkattish, doesn't it?
It does sound it. And we like a cat on this show.
Yeah, well, that's right.
It's more, we've got one talking at the moment, haven't we?
I'm going to give you the website. If you go to Munich, look this guy up. Fantastic host, www.guitaroscafe@yahoo.de. Just turn around and say, you heard about him on Scott Quoff. Right, okay, Olympia, Great British Beer Festival.
Oh, it's just the way you walk.
Yeah, a quick hop and a skip and a jump there. I don't know how many people know of Iron Maiden's lead singer, Bruce Dickinson. He's been to Chambers on various tours when they appear at Lee's Cliff Hall. And he often drinks in Chambers in Folkestone. But he was asked this year to reveal the champion beer of Britain, which is Timothy Taylor Boltmaker.
Oh, there used to be the beer, Timmy Taylor's.
Timothy Taylor, landlord. Is that his beer?
But it's also a brewery. There's a brewery, Taylor's, in North of England.
North.
My favourite beer.
All he and was mine. Required to do was to stand on stage and say, this is this year's beer of Great Britain. All right?
Right.
So there we go. A little note. Apparently in the Isle of Grain, many years ago, there was a BP oil refinery, which some people may remember. And it
I'm
used
far too young.
A catalytic cracker plant as part of the process. But it closed in 1982, so it probably confirms you are too young.
Yes.
If you can imagine the pub sign, which is a black cat, all its hair standing on end, jumping up in the air with a firecracker going off behind
that
it.
That sounds like Dr. John.
No, I was just going to say it's rather like you after a bottle of Carver, isn't it?
Apparently the pub was demolished in 2000, but a camera actually feature each month. They do a feature, interesting pub signs, and it was a cat and cracker Isle of Grain.
Well, you should have won that with your at Houdiness Horse. That's an interesting name, isn't it, and pub sign.
Well, it is, and the picture's absolutely lovely, but what can I say? I mean, I don't put us, we just don't put ourselves forward for things like this. Right, okay. If you want a free pint of real ale,
yes,
it could be yours. If you go to www.freedrinkspubs.co.uk and you're a Camera member, Punch Taverns is offering Camera members one free pint of real ale which is available in 700 punch list pubs around the country to be enjoyed during Cask Ale Week. Now, this amused me when I saw it. Cask Ale Week runs Thursday 25th September to Sunday the 5th of October, which by my reckoning is 10 days. Now, that's a week and a half. But there you go.
You're always picky. So good at maths.
It comes with the territory. I am. So if you go to www.freedrinkpubs.co.uk, enter your email address and the code CAM123 and provide your camera member, you'll receive your free pint voucher direct to your inbox just prior to the start of Cask Ale Week. There's tons of stuff going on. You realise it's curry week in October. You'll enjoy this one. Who likes curry in the room?
We do.
Oh, absolutely.
We love it. I just cooked one over the weekend,
yes,
actually.
Let's have one now.
Right, well, curry week, and once again, October 13th to 19th. Now, I actually make that 7 days, or is it me?
Yeah, you're
that,
about right.
That curry. Yeah. National Curry Week. So, I don't know if any restaurants that do curries are listening to Scoff Quaff. We want to hear about what you're doing for National Curry Week. Is that fair, Jules?
Yes, definitely.
Right, now moving on.
Let's go. And the Canterbury Food Festival we're going to meet at, aren't we?
We are. Do you want to remind me of the dates for that?
Dr. John.
The Canterbury Food Festival is this coming weekend, 26th to the 29th in Dane John Gardens in Canterbury.
Yeah. Kent Green Hop Festival fortnight officially beginning at Canterbury Food and Drink Festival on Friday 27th. Where most of the green hop beers can be tasted. As you know, at this time of year, when they're collecting the fresh hops, they actually do a special brew most of the Kent.
Yeah, that's right. They have a big tent, don't they, every year at Canterbury Food Festival. Yeah. That's the one we went to, Jules, last year.
And yes, and it was really enjoyable. And most of our listeners and people are all exhibiting. Yes, sorry, I'm tweeting. I'm not.
Yeah, I know. You're not paying attention, as usual.
Somebody has to do the Twitter feed, darling.
If you want to know more about it, go to www.kentgreenhopbeer.com. We've ordered two in for the Hoodners, one from Gad's over in Ramsgate, which is the Ramsgate Brewery, and one from the Old Dairy, which is now based at Tenterden Railway Station, the Steam Railway. What else is there? Oh,
chocolate.
I think it's the chocolate that's the problem here.
I know, it's gone straight to my head. Me too.
3rd to the 5th of October, there's a beer festival at Cooper's Arms, Crowborough Green Hopped Ales Festival.
Where's Crowborough? It's near...
Over...
It's near Tunbridge Wells.
Yeah.
Is that part of it?
Shirley's Haunts.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
4th to the 6th of October, Swan on the Green West Peckham Green Hop Beer.
Now that sounds like you, Dr. John.
And Swan on the Green. Swanning on the green.
We do all the swanning down in Spain.
Where did you fly back into?
I came to Southend. It was fabulous.
Really?
Because now we haven't got Manston. Yeah, Southend was great.
Good. We came into Stansted. Is the runway down the pier at Southend?
At the end of the pier.
At the end of the pier, right? Okay.
We had terrible turbulence.
Yeah, well, that was
it's the paella.
I was just going to say that was obviously the paella you had on Sunday night.
It was
9th to the 13th. Really trying to move this on. 9th to the 13th.
It's due because we're going on to the Business Bunker at 1. Crown,
there'll be a lot of wind and hot air there, that's for sure.
The old snake hips, yeah.
Right. Crown Otford Beer Festival, 20 beers and ciders.
I think he's not listening in the green room.
Do you know, there's something happening here at Hagelands.
Do you know, Andy deserves a prize.
Well, there's a lot of hot air coming from the other side of the studio, that's
just
for sure.
Carrying on while we heckle. Right. Carry on, Andy.
No, that's okay.
I'm very impressed.
Have you heard of Kent Open Air Cinema?
Kent Open Air Cinema?
Well, that's where Jules spends all the time because she needs to have the
open air. No one will be in the room with her, yeah. Folkestone Open
Air. It's the aioli, you know.
It's the people that run out the creative quarter, I think, at Folkestone. And they've
John's
got,
off.
They've got coming up, they've got a Halloween open air cinema.
Well, John could go to that without any costume, couldn't he?
Here at Hagelands on the 1st of November.
Oh.
Right?
Pumpkins?
Just down the, just in the field across by the alpacas. And they're doing three films. The first one is Ghostbusters.
Wow.
Right. The second one is Rocky Horror Show.
Right.
And the third,
Paul Andrews could go to that looking normal.
Yeah, yeah, but you're right. He wouldn't need to dress up, would he?
He wouldn't. Yeah, he's a creature of the night, you know.
Yeah, and the third one is Shaun of the Dead, I believe.
Excellent. I've never... Oh, that's really funny. That's with Simon...
Yeah,
what,
it's a comedy zombie one, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We like a zombie.
It's something like £32 or £34 for a car with up to six people in it. All right? So, look, I think that just about rounds everything up.
Oh, I think that's lovely. We've actually allowed you to get it off your chest for once. We're going to go over to... Thank you very much, Andy.
And then do a speech or something.
Well, Andy will be back in a month, so if you
When I've recovered. He's recovered.
If you have any snippets for him, Dr. John, you've got about 2 minutes.
Yes, we've had a tweet in from Harry Cobain. He says that at Moodley's Limited have their own beer brewing kits. So if you were interested in brewing your own beer, you should get on to at Moodley's Moodley's Limited.
Moody would make you moody beer, wouldn't it? But it's Moodley's, definitely.
Yeah, right. It is. It is Moodley's. Yeah. Also, we have not...
I met him once, you know, the owner of Moodley's, I'm a, creator, yeah, yeah. At a Harry Covert secret dining experience. Okay. And I tell you, Dr. John, the food was just...
Yeah, he's just got some places for the one that's coming up towards the end of this month.
Well, if he's got a Friday night, I'll take my new husband.
Did you say Moodley or Stoodley? Because wasn't Stoodley the little chap in... Catch That Pigeon that flew around with the coat on and the funny hat.
God, what century was that?
That was Muttley, wasn't it?
That was Muttley.
No, oh, Muttley was the dog.
Was the dog with the laugh.
But Stoodley was the one that whistled every time.
Was that like Penelope?
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, that we mustn't forget that there's Broadstairs Food Festival on the weekend after that.
Now, was Muttley there?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I don't think so. Yeah. No, but he might have been. You may see him there, of course, if you go along. That's on
the 3rd to the 5th of October. Wasn't it Penelope Pitstop?
Can I just finish this,
Penelope
please?
Penelope Pitstop, anyone?
It was at the Victoria Gardens and Promenade in Broadstairs.
Oh, so you love a promenade, Dr. John. Can't you see Dr. John promenading?
I can.
Yeah,
I
with
can.
A little straw boater.
Well, it'll be fine for you because it's open air, so it'll be fine for you as well after all your pilots.
It wasn't me with the... the turbulence. It was the plane.
Sorry, I thought it was you that was causing the turbulence.
You know, it was very worrying. The pilot actually said, for the first time I've ever
heard,
saying...
Well, we've got a passenger on who's got a lot of turbulence.
No.
There's a rumour. The turbulence was so bad they arrived half an hour early. And it was against the wind as well.
The pilot actually said, we've got...
Well, the pilot spoke, did it?
Yeah, the pilot actually...
You said the pilot spoke.
We say paella, you know, where we are. But the pilot actually said, we've got some interesting weather going over for about half an hour, going over the Alps or whatever the mountains are. Are they the Alps over Spain? I don't think they are.
No, they're the Pyrenees.
Pyrenees. And if Senior Pyrenees... Carry on, Dr. John.
It's so short.
Yeah, I know. Well, the trouble is that I had to come in Lederhosen because I knew Andy wouldn't come in.
Oh, I love a man in Lederhosen. Yeah. You've got 2 minutes.
That's probably why I didn't wear any.
Coming up, listener, we've got the fabulous Paul Andrews with his snake hips. He will be telling you all about business.
And he won't be breaking wind.
No, he won't be breaking wind. He will be telling you all about business in Kent. He's got Porch Light on, which helping the homeless, which is fantastic, fantastic charity. So tune in, stay tuned, 1 p.m. And also a big thanks to our guest today, which was the fabulous Shirley Pete, who's sitting stunned in the middle of these two gentlemen.
Silenced by the repartee that's going on between all three.
Stuffed with chocolate she is, and she's hopefully not going to have a hyper or anything. She's got a little needle.
Or turbulence later.
Although that comes with the paella, that's Jules.
The brilliant Steve Rudkin from Lunch, who was mincing around lunching at the Lunch Festival with his amazing chocolate. We really love it. And who else was on? Oh, all our sponsors, Gormisham Game and Riverford Organic.
Andy and...
Andy Setterfield. Yeah. Goodbye from all of us. Stay tuned for the Business Bunker. And from all of us here, especially from Shirley Pete, who is the only well-behaved one, frankly. Goodbye from us all. And tune in next week at 11 a.m. and send us your tweets at ScoffQuaff. Channel Radio.